Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Steve Kruse of the BJU Psychology Faculty.
Okay, it's a blessing to be with you this morning. You can turn to John chapter 11. And while you're turning there, I just want to read a verse before we pray. Ephesians 6, verse 16 says this, of course, in the context of the spiritual armor, which are all of them are important. But I want to focus particularly in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's powerful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, and I thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit would just impress upon our hearts these truths. Lord, how I pray that we will walk out of here determined by your grace to hold up the shield of faith and never let it come down. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I teach counseling here at the university, and I do a lot of counseling and so forth. I'm currently in counseling various individuals. And typically, what I find, pretty much without fail, okay, when people come to me, you know, if I was a cartoonist, and not to make light of it, but it's almost like when they come, they look like they just came from a war, you know? And to use Ephesians 6 analogy, they got arrows all through them, through their head, through their bodies, and they come in, they're like, they're shot, literally shot. By what? The fiery darts of the wicked one. Now guess what? That doesn't sound real pleasant, does it? Matter of fact, it sounds excruciatingly painful. And it is. And when they come to me for counseling, typically, Christ isn't in the picture. And guess what? We're not surprised at that. Because they're filled with the fiery darts of the wicked one have hit home. Now understand, I'm not blaming Satan for their decision choices. Because we have the enemy within, which is our flesh, and the enemy without, which is Satan. And they come in and they are beaten up. I mean, they are just, they're without hope. And oftentimes, as a counselor, as a biblical counselor, what I'm stressing to them is Ephesians 6. Not only the whole armor of God, obviously, but specifically the shield of faith. Because it's the thing that God says will quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, what I also run across in that, as you talk to them, typically failure is always looked in a negative light. I can't fail. Or suffering is looked upon in the negative light. I can't be suffering. Or embarrassment. You won't believe what I did. I can't believe I did that. No, what everyone's going to think of me. And what ends up happening, what is dictating how they're living their lives? It's certainly not Christ. And the reason it's not Christ is, guess what? The shield of faith is not up. So what's that leave them with? They're walking by sight. Their circumstances are determining how they're relating to their wife, how they're relating to their husband, how they're relating to their kids, how they're relating to their parents. It's not Christ. It's not His Word. It's they're walking by sight. The shield of faith is down. And thus, Satan is having a field day. I love John 11. And we have just a brief time, so we won't be able to develop the whole passage. But I do want to focus in on one key point here. And that's simply this. We must keep up the shield of faith. You know what? It's not an option. It's like, you know what? I think I'll put the shield of faith down. Well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? Because God says when you do that, what will happen? You must keep up the shield of faith. It's not an option. And the reason we want to look at here in John 11, because John 11 is a great passage. You're familiar with it. Verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou what? Lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the what? The glory of God. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now, obviously, from Martha and Mary's viewpoint, and we're going to see later on, both Martha and Mary said, Lord, if you would have been here, you would not have died. And you got to give them credit in that they were thinking that the Lord would have healed them. Okay? But he didn't. And think about it. He healed the nobleman's son from a distance, right? And he talked about his great faith. He didn't go there. He just healed him from a distance. And certainly he could have done that here. But he didn't. Then we read on. Verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, the Bible doesn't say exactly, but tying in with the context, it would seem his purpose was that Christ would be glorified. As we're going to see, Lazarus was certainly good and dead the time he got back. But whatever the case, it still would seem unusual that he would linger 2 days. Then verse 7, then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Well, look at verse 8. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And goest thou thither again? They're like, okay, what are you thinking? We just left there. They tried to kill us. They tried to kill you. And you want to go back. Doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense that Jesus wasn't there and healed Lazarus. Or he's even from a distance. And so you can see there's faith, but there's confusion and the temptation, obviously, to walk by sight. Now, look what it says in verse 9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. That strike you as odd? Lazarus is dead, whom I love. He's dead, and I am glad. That's what it says, right? And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Let's stop there, okay? My challenge to you is we must keep up the shield of faith. How do you keep up the shield of faith, especially when you're going through a difficult time, when you're going through a trial, when you're going through whatever it may be, suffering, or you have failed, or you did embarrass yourself, and you don't want to show your face again. How do you keep up the shield of faith? Well, we only have time to cover one key point here, and that is by having the assurance of God's purposes for your life. I'm telling you, every time in counseling, they go out the window as they come in. God's purposes for their life are out the window. Their purposes for their life are front and center. And you know what? They're never joyful. Now praise God as you work with them and you see the Holy Spirit use the Word of God to work in their life because it's quick and powerful. And you see their focus, the shield of faith come back up and Christ is in the center. What a difference. What a difference. So by having the assurance of God's purposes, what's exciting in this passage is God tells us exactly the purposes here for why He didn't come when they thought He should have come, why He's going back to a place they just tried to kill Him, why He, in a sense, from the disciples' viewpoint, putting them all at risk. But you know what? When you have the shield of faith up, no matter what, no matter what comes into Steve Cruz's life, no matter what comes into your life, you can have the assurance of these purposes of God for your life. Now, what are they? Number one, and these are all clearly stated in the passage. Number one, to bring glory to God. That's what he says. Look at verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And the hint of clause here is that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Obviously, that is the key purpose. And the other two purposes we're going to look at are all ultimately point to the glory of God, as we're going to see. But the first one right out of the chute here is clearly, why is this taking place? It's that the Son of God might be glorified. Colossians 1 says what? I was created by Him and for Him. It does not say, I was created by Him for my happiness. I was created by Him to have a happy, wonderful life. I was created by Him and for Him. Keep your finger in John. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And here's the key point. You can keep up the shield of faith by having the assurance of God's purposes for your life. Number one, that Christ would be glorified in your life. You can't get away from that. That's why I can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Because it doesn't matter what comes into my life. I recognize that God, as Romans 8:28 says, He is working all things together for good to them that love Christ. What's the good? Verse 29. That Jesus Christ would be preeminent. That He would get the glory. So I have the assurance of God's purposes, Steve, no matter what comes in your life. I'm guaranteeing you. I'm using your life to make you more like Christ so that He would be glorified. Can you rejoice in that? Absolutely. Guess what? If you don't have the shield of faith up, you will not be rejoicing because that's not where your focus is. It's how you fail. It's how you've been embarrassed. It's the past I live. It's the sin I'm in. And Christ is nowhere to be found. Keep up the shield of faith because of God, having the assurance of God's purposes to bring glory to Himself. Again, you're familiar with these verses. You don't have to turn there. Everyone is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Verily, I've made him. Philippians 2:11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Where therefore, 1 Corinthians 10:31, you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Often, right, when I'm talking to people, they'll get tired of hearing me say this. I say it lovingly. I can be loving. But I say to them, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. Get the shield of faith up. It's about Him getting glory through this. you know what? Your marriage is going down the tubes. It's going down. Yeah, not surprised. You haven't been following God's blueprint for marriage. But there's hope for that, right? Because follow God's blueprint, it'll make a difference. You know? You didn't come in here because you're following God's blueprints, because you're not following God's blueprints. You'll have faith, not up, and so forth. But here's the thing. If you have kids, right, you're thinking, oh, the only way is divorce. That's the best thing for the kids. How about this being the best thing for the kids? How about we both live for Jesus Christ? How about we have a heartbeat of Christ being glorified? And here's what's neat. Satan's the one who comes in because what? The shield of faith is down. And he pounds them. Yeah, you're not. What kind of husband? What kind of father? What kind of wife? What kind of mother? What kind of child? You know? And he pounds us. Right? And God says, you know what? Get the shield of faith up. Yeah, you're here because of sin. But without confessing, if you will confess in your mouth, if we confess the sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I can get back pleasing him. And here's what's neat. Then your kids see this change happening to mom and dad who are at each other's throats. Now they're hugging. I remember one time this couple we were dealing with. I mean, they're ready for divorce. But, and of course, began working. As God began working, it was so neat. One time we're in the church we're at, and I just happened to walk past, and they didn't see me. And they were holding hands in the pew. They didn't think that was a little exciting. I mean, my wife and I did the hip bump, the high fives, and praising God, you know? Do you think their kids saw Christ? Hello? Yes! That's what it's about, folks. But you've got to have the shield of faith up. And you've got to have the assurance of God's purposes that no matter what's coming in your life, whether it's sin or whatever, Christ, I need to please God. Recognizing it's about Christ being glorified. And no one or no thing can keep you from pleasing God. Just your sinful heart. And that's exciting. But there's something else here. So having assurance of God's purpose is one, to bring glory to God. He makes that very clear, but he also makes another purpose clear. And if you come on down to verse 14 again, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. And here's another hint of clause, to the intent you may believe. And to the intent you may believe. Why did he linger 2 days? Why did he heal Lazarus from the distance? Why wasn't he there? He could have tied him to his heir. He's God, come in the flesh. But he says, the reason I didn't do it is that I might increase your faith, strengthen your faith. Isn't that neat? When you're walking with the shield of faith up, and you see God do some amazing things. Because the shield of faith is like, I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord, but I believe your word. I believe the power of your Holy Spirit. And I'm sure Dr. Mazak would agree. You go into counseling, it's like, I have no idea, Lord, how you're going to pull this off. Because there's a lot of baggage here. I don't even know where to begin. But you know what? As a counselor, I got to hold up the shield of faith. But I believe in the power of your word. I believe it's the only thing that's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. No psychology, no psychiatry, no psychotherapy can claim that. Only God's Word claims that. And His Holy Spirit takes that, and I hold up that shield of faith, and I go in there. It's like, and it's, as I said, it's humbling. You don't put confidence in the flesh. But guess what? It's a little bit exciting. As you put your faith in Christ and in His Word, and you see Him do a work, it increases your faith. To the point, you know, the first couples that came in, like, oh. Now when that couple comes in, I'm like, Lord, I'm looking forward to what you're going to do here. You know what I'm saying? Strengthens your faith. So you got to realize the assurance of God's purpose is to bring glory to God and to increase your faith. Now keep your finger there and go to 1 Peter. As I said, these all tie into that ultimate purpose of glorifying God. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. Now, he's talking to the believers who are going through some severe trials. He talks about their inheritance in verse 3 to 5, their salvation, so forth. Verse 6, he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That doesn't sound pleasant. But that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Don't you see? When you hold up the shield of faith, you can have the assurance of God's purpose. It's not only that He wants to bring glory to Himself, but He wants to increase your faith, which ultimately, what? Brings glory to Him. And guess what? It goes back to why I'm here. So all these things are talking about Steve. This is what I'm doing. To fulfill the purpose I put you here for. That's why you can rejoice. And so He says to the disciples, I'm glad. To the intent you might believe, to increase your faith. But the third purpose is found later in the chapter. If you go to verse 42. Now you know the story. So Jesus comes back. Lazarus was probably dead shortly after the messenger left to come to him, because where he was in Bethany was about a day's travel. And that, my understanding, that was traveling, you know, at a pretty good pace. So the messenger left, traveled the day, got to them. Jesus waited 2 days. They traveled back. That was 4 days. When they get back, he's been dead 4 days. So he probably died shortly after the messenger left. But look at verse 42. So he's at the grave site. In verse 42, he's speaking to the Father, and he says, I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. Here it is. Why? That they may believe that thou hast sent me. What's the other purpose? That people will come to know Christ as their Savior, to bring others to Christ. So think, right in that passage, he points out 3 key purposes why he delayed, why he didn't do it the way they thought he should have done it. And we've all been there, done that, got the T-shirt. You're like, Lord, where are you? Lord, I thought you loved me. Lord, I thought, you know. And we begin to question the Lord. And he says, Steve, get the shield of faith back up. Have the assurance of my purposes. Although I might not be answering the way you're expecting me to answer, you can have the shield of faith up, being assured that I want Christ to be glorified, that I want to strengthen your faith, and that I want to bring others to Christ. Tell me. Is there anything in this life better than that? Tell me. Men's applause? More material things? You know? The praise of men? Is that better than Christ being glorified in my life? Is that better than my faith being strengthened in a wonderful Savior and thus Christ being glorified? Is that better than a soul coming to Christ? Absolutely not. And folks, that's why we're here. You were created by Him and for Him. Verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then notice what he says to Martha. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? Folks, you trusted this book for your eternity. You trusted it for your salvation. You can trust it for your sanctification. This book is awesome. Everything you need that pertains to life, salvation, and godliness is right here. You don't need to look anywhere else. It's right here. And it says right after verse 3 of 2 Peter, he's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Believest thou this? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love and your word. Lord, I pray that each one of us in this room would keep up the shield of faith, as you told us in Ephesians 6, so the fiery darts of wicked one don't hit home. Lord, help us to have that assurance of your purposes, that Christ would be glorified, that you would strengthen our faith, and that others would come to know Christ as their Savior. Thank you, Father, for your great love wherewith you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to The Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Steve Kruse of the BJU Psychology Faculty. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.